are for John, which is the first thing I'm going to say on the first part that they made. That preliminary to think something about in North 100%, he said he's there to direct indwelling. Then we take a miracle. But we responded to that. Either money or duty or both, and he didn't respond to my response. That response is the first thing was to say, similar to a lot of things God does today, routinely. Like, for example, 1,000 Christians were playing and pray at one time today. Right at one time. Simultaneously, God would have any problem processing that information, hearing, understanding, and answering all the prayers at once. Now, I can do something like that, you call it a miracle. But what God does is routinely. That's what God is God. And that's how he forgives sin. That's how he can look on the other side of the world when he's, you know, where it's dark and sleep with somebody's sins in the closet. That's how he can do that, I think. That's how Jesus can go through a wall. Well, that was a miracle. But what I'm trying to say is, if I did that, if I were trying to process 1,000 conversations at once, we call it a miracle. But when God does it, it's not a miracle. It's just the nature of God does it routinely. And that's how he dwells. How he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in our heart. In Hebrews 5:18, many get parallel with Colossians 3:16. John, let me say this, I agree with that chart. Mark, I can tell 100%. What about number 47? Mark, remember that chart that pretty much makes the same point. But Paul, if you know that I agree with the preposition in the end one, it's a passage in 5:18, B, in love. Very wonderful. By parallel with Colossians 3:16, as you know, that's a word of God called Christian parallel, be filled with the Spirit. Which is a command, as you know. Okay, so the word, that's the word of Christ, dwelling with us, and we obey the word, and it should be obeyed the word. Then we can say by definition that the Holy Ghost dwells in us representatively through the word. And then also, I'd like to point out something I'll just put it on the agenda, and I think that's deep. When you see a command in the Bible, like Ephesians 5:18b, then you're going to know that he's filled with the Spirit. That's why we talk about the first three ones, because that's the promise we receive, like Holy Spirit asking the Father for himself. This is not a very exciting statement, okay, what this is. And I'm pretty sure you will concur with this statement. But very possible, a friend of these fellows, and a friend of mine, they don't care. Very said, he's only the Holy Spirit of the Father. I agree with that. He's talking about what I believe about this book. He doesn't enter the truth, and that's the truth of God. Therefore, the input of the Holy Spirit cannot be obeyed. I agree with that. I think it's not that he cannot be referenced to the first place, Lord, because he's never meant to be obeyed about that problem. But it can be a representative input. You cannot use Acts 2:3 and Ephesians 5:18. That's very said. And the reason you didn't use Ephesians 5:18, well, I would have asked for you to see a promise to receive, like Holy Spirit has to be received by us. And I agree with you 100%, and Acts 2:3 is not answered. The narrative, the narrative in Acts 2:38 cannot be referred to the gift of the Holy Ghost, cannot be referred to the representative of Israel. He said yes. Money, I asked Tom, based on the same question, he said yes. So we're all agreeing. All of us, it was a big father, he was like a representative of us, but asking for it is not. Now remember, he's supposed to be proving tonight that you have a representative of the Lord, and that's the only way. But asking for it, yes, he admits. It's not a representative of the Lord. He says that you're forgiven, you'll be that kind of representative of the gift of the Holy Ghost. He admits, if I'm the same reason you would use, I would use. It cannot be called a representative of the Lord. Well, here's another way the Holy Spirit can dwell. He gives you the Holy Spirit when you're baptized. And if this proposition says only a representative, then that means I've been through this proposition. It's similar to the fact that there's no faith only. He can get up there and show 100 verses that show like John 3:16 to show we're saved by faith. But when he's affirming faith only, I will agree with all 100 of those verses and then say, Mark 16:16 shows this faith and be baptized. And you should be saved. So it's not faith only, it's faith. Sure enough, it's not faith only. But the representative is well, sure enough, and I don't think that's how the Old Testament is first. But it's also the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is not the representative. He is a promise to be received. And this is verse 65. He mentions how life is back to 2:13, where it says, Satan dwells among those people. You know what? I agree with you. That is the definition you give. I agree. That is a representative. It's what people say that Satan dwells among these people. I've heard it perfectly. Did I have that right? He dwells in those folks. What does that mean? Does that mean that Satan personally dwells in them? No. It means that they were obeying Satan. They were following him instead of following God. Well, that says Satan dwells in them. A representative of them. But no. Everybody heard the Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. And look at verses 27 and following. Here we have something where Satan dwells in some people literally or personally. We see here the Revelation 13 agent being as well representatively. But look at the representative movement for prayer under him. Now, the city of Pergamum, which had dealt with long time, were unclean spirits in the underground parts of the day, and wear no clothes, neither go to any house in the city. And if you bring them all through, the indwelling spirit, the demons, Satan, were causing them to do some strange things, and he asked Jesus to, please, let me see, he was out here, he said, what are your names? He's talking to them, but they're all anti-Legion. There were many of them there, for sure. I believe that Tom will bring this as a personal dwelling of these demons, these spirits. Satan himself, I guess, or his messenger, however I put that. And on January 14, 1999, I asked Mary, a question I read in Luke 8, 27 to 35, teach that the unclean spirit, or devil, as the King James puts it, was or were personally, literally, in the first man. Mary answered, yes, I believe Tom went to this. Here's what I'm trying to point out. He's saying that the Holy Spirit calls us only through the Word. And he's flipped out a passage from Ephesians 5:18 or Revelation 2:13 and shows represented in the book. But now we've seen that a lot of the other things are going to be that not in the same way represented, but they can also dwell personally. See? So the prayer is well represented right in the first place. That shows the possibility that the Holy Ghost is well represented through the Word, the intentional way. And personally, as a person, we receive many of the Word. That possibility sure exists. So it's not enough just to read our passage that teaches that the Holy Ghost is represented through the Word. You are serving all of us. You are having to prove the only part. The Bible shows one verse, and I believe I showed 16 in the last night. One verse that conclusively shows the Holy Spirit dwells as personally, that it destroys his proposition because he's dead over it. Put this chart down here. Now, I've been in this chart for it, and if you haven't, a lot of that is for it. The Holy Spirit does things that others prefer. And that's right. They do many things that come. And I would agree 100% with this chart, and even to the extent that it's far enough, that all these things that the Holy Spirit does, he does through the Word of God, far enough. Now, if you have that in there, how do you say that? That's not how the Bible says it. Far enough, the Holy Spirit does all these things through the Word of God. But there is at least one thing that the Holy Spirit does that's not through the Word of God for the Christian that moment. Maybe 26 and 27, the Bible says, my God, the Spirit also comes by our first. Only the Bible is the same way we are. So even our spirit does not know what's painful. So our spirit, not our spirit, is our own. But the Spirit itself has an intercession for us, what we shall get. So all that would be saying that we can't others. We can only push. We can help others. We help us. We can help others. We help us. And we know the Spirit makes these things that we can. And even at first of all, I know it was not the Spirit has the Father. Because he has an intercession for the saints before he will go. He has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all the way on this chapter. Romans 36. So that's why the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, yes. Perhaps most or almost all of what the Holy Spirit does for the Christian today is through the Word of God. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Which he would agree with on that. We can find at least one thing the Holy Spirit does that the Word of God does not do. And here is one. And it really is the point of your chart. Okay? It does not prove that the Holy Spirit dwells only through the Word. Because we have found at least one thing the Holy Spirit does that the Word does not do. Okay, number 7. Okay. Now we're talking about Ephesians 1:13-14. I'll put up another slide here. Everybody turn to Ephesians 1:13-14. He read that and talks about how the Holy Spirit is a seal in earth. He said, which, in Ephesians 1:14 in the King James Version, cannot refer back to the Holy Spirit. Which now the normal rule is that when I go back to the last and see, they're not saying that rule is there without exception in the Bible. But the normal rule is, so when you're reading this, it says that in verse 13, you're revealed with that Holy Spirit promise. Which, what do you think that's referring back to? Which is the greatest of our inheritance? Well, it's referring to the Holy Spirit. He's very dramatic in doing it. Let me show you that dramatically it can and does. As a matter of fact, if you look at some other translations of the King James, it says, which is who is the guarantee of our inheritance? Well, but that's the rest of the Holy Ghost. The Missouri Standard Bible, that is, from the Standard Version, who is given in the place of our inheritance? Who? Those translators have been, they call it, could go back to the Holy Ghost, not the Word of God. They said it changed, but all these scholars, these three scholars, they were probably embedded in this concept. They were part of translation tradition. And today, God did go back to Samaria. The majority text, this is what Mark is saying, and he doesn't have there. You can look at it, he says the majority text. It has two there for the little translation, where you see the witch in the text. Okay, so evidently, the word can go back, and not only can it, it does go back to the Holy Spirit. And so what we have in Acts, first of all, but it's not the end part, number 10.
Hebrews 5:7 works exactly the same way as 5:32. Put it in charge.
And not only that, we showed last night that that sounds like it cannot be talking about the miraculous one. It is impossible. Because the image is of their awakening. It's totally up. And our image of holiness, not something from the Holy Ghost. Not a problem from the Holy Ghost. It says the Holy Ghost himself. But you remember that December 25, the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit was given to 48 before he obeyed the gospel. Before he obeyed the gospel,
just like that, you're going to get tested to receive again the Holy Spirit. Thank you very much.